feel that our high noon is in the future. I don't believe there's any burden of any responsibility that any American would not assume to protect his country, to protect our security, to advance the cause of freedom. And I believe it incumbent upon us now to do that.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Last Friday, five janitors were fired for union organizing at Colorado biotech giant Amgen. Several other members of the Service Employees International Union Justice for Janitors campaign were fired from tech companies for fighting poverty wages, a lack of health care, and harassment in the workplace.
The janitors that clean the high-tech industry in particular are some of the most exploited workers.
Valerie Alcaga, director of the Colorado Justice for Janitors campaign, says janitors in the technology industry are exposed to many types of toxic chemicals and sweatshop working conditions.
We have workers that are on their hands and knees for 10 hours a day cleaning the crevices of these clean rooms, for example, at the Intel plant. We have a worker in particular that, you know, has been working 3 years doing this cleaning on her hand and knees. After years and years of putting all the weight on the wrist begin giving out. The company in this case has told her that what is wrong with her is that she fell in her house, although this is completely not true, but because they're immigrants and because they think they're not going to stand up, this goes on and on and on until the worker gets tired and quits, right?
Union supporters who appear to be immigrants are being targeted for immigration documentation verification in an effort to break the union.
Tens of thousands of British retirees face a bleak future if Parliament cannot come to agreement on a bailout package for their pensions. Most of them worked for companies that went bankrupt during the latest recession. The Labour-led government is devising a pension protection program to deal with situations like these, but as of now, the plan would not be retroactive, leaving some 60,000 recently busted pensioners out in the cold. A multi-partisan amendment is in the works to fix the issue, but has only received lukewarm support from Prime Minister Tony Blair. Retroactive coverage would cost the government an estimated $120 million a year for the next 30 years, but many MPs think it's a small cost to pay if it restores confidence in the British corporate pension system. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Tax cuts of recent years have not actually been tax cuts at all, according to new analysis from United for a Fair Economy. It says something more like tax shifting has actually been taking place and points to the disparity between federal and state tax rates over the last 3 years. The wealthiest 1% of Americans got nearly $200 billion in tax relief over the last 3 years, while coincidentally, state and local governments suffered budget gaps totaling some $200 billion.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Have you visited 100fires.com lately? If not, then you're missing out on thousands of books for a better world. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, creating more livable communities, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Wouldn't you be a little skeptical if you took your car in for a routine checkup and the repair shop said it had found a mysterious and costly problem deep in the engine that, quote, needs fixing, even though you can't detect any problem at all? Welcome to the shady world of today's Social Security mechanics, including politicos of both parties and a phalanx of banking lobbyists. They're telling us in the direst terms that there's a major problem deep in the Social Security system that must be fixed right away. The fix is going to be costly, they solemnly inform us. It'll require raising people's retirement age to as high as 70, cutting the monthly payments for all retired workers, and even privatizing part or all of this public safety net for retirees. But we must accept these fixes, they warn, or the whole system will sputter and die. BS alert, BS alert. Of all government programs, including the bloated, fraud-ridden Pentagon, Social Security is least in need of fixing. It's the most efficient program we have, requiring a mere 1% of its total budget for administrative costs. And even the political mechanics who want to mess with the program admit that Social Security is perfectly sound and capable of paying full benefits to future retirees through at least 2042. What insurance company or bank can make that claim? And with only minor adjustment, the system is solid through 2075, long after most of today's fixers will be dead. There is one fix, however, that would guarantee the soundness of Social Security in perpetuity. Raise the current $88,000 income cap so that the salaries, bonuses, stock gains, and other wealth of the elites are also subject to Social Security taxes, rather than keeping the burden solely on the wages of low-income and middle-class working folks. This is Jim Hightower saying, to push for this simple and fair reform, call Campaign for America's Future, 202-955-5665.
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
The following is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate.
Mark Martin makes the turn. Oh, what a good move by the 33-time NASCAR race winner. The Viagra car takes the inside track. Good move!
See, I know a little something about making good moves. And one of the best moves you can make is to talk to your doctor and ask if Viagra is right for you.
Joe makes the turn. Now he's parallel parking. Wow, what a move! He's in front of his doctor's office.
Ask your doctor about a free Viagra sample today.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom in the American way. Tom Hartman broadcasting live, coast to coast, border to border, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite system, beaming from radio stations from California to North Carolina, blasting around the planet on radio powered auto. So much interesting news today. We have... Is what's going on in Iraq torture or frat hazing? Is it just people having a good time? Is it, you know, what is really going on here? Well, we have our right wing wacko alert here for
today.
And
now we find the liberals doing what they always do, and I've told you this. They always try to give me 50 milligrams of Vicodin instead of the 80s.
I'm a Nazi.
Yeah, our introduction here.
I really am.
Well, yeah, hours before President Bush announced plans to address the Arab world to condemn the abuse of Iraqi prisoners in the U.S. military, a right-wing talk show host went on the air to say, well, this is not that big a deal. It's just sort of a college fraternity prank. In fact, here you are, a little clip.
Psychologically wrong with that. It's not the act so much. It was like a college fraternity prank to stack up naked...
Exactly my point. This is no different than what happens at the Skull and Bones initiation, and we're going to ruin people's lives over it, and we're going to hamper our military effort, and then we are going to really hammer them because they had a good time.
Oh, they terrible, terrible.
You know, these people are being fired at every day. I'm talking about people having a good time. These people, you ever heard of emotional release?
Yeah, that's all.
You ever heard of need to blow some steam off?
That's all it is, yep. And the day before... The esteemed Mr. Lumba said, "At these American prisoners of war, have you people noticed who the torturers are? Women! The babes! The babes are meeting out the torture! You know, if you look at it, if you really look at these pictures, I mean, it doesn't just look to me, looks like anything you'd see on Madonna or Britney Spears." Yeah. So anyhow, in the second half hour of this program, we're going to have on Stephen Soles. He's a psychologist who's an expert on this kind of thing. Not on right-wing wackos, but on torture and the consequences thereof. And I want to get into some of that. If you notice, several of the international human rights groups, one of the more prominent is a group that doesn't have a real high profile like Amnesty International. They're out there. And they have been, actually it was in July of 2003, that Amnesty International first documented the abuse of folks by U.S. soldiers in Iraq and asked for an investigation. But a group called Christian Peacemaker Teams, which has been in the country for 2 years, has estimated that 80% of former detainees it interviewed had suffered abuse of one form or another. And they're demanding, demanding an independent public investigation into this issue. And this is a tough one, and it's a shame, frankly, to see people on the right trying to either minimize this or politicize this. It's just, you know, I mean, this is something that we just need to look hard at and say, what's going on here? How is this going to impact the United States? How is it going to impact our foreign policy? What are the consequences of this going to be for our troops all over the world? And how can we best handle that? What can we do about this? And frankly, I think that we need the world is not going to sit back and say, "Oh yeah, George Bush went on TV and said he wouldn't say I'm sorry, but he said, oh, this is important." It's not going to be enough. I mean, in Iraq, they're calling for public trial. They say, "You want to put Saddam on trial and talk about what a terrible guy he was?" I'm sure it'll fly really well in the election campaign of 2004. But let's put some of these guys on trial. That's what they're saying in Iraq. I disagree. I think this should be handled the way it's always been handled. Through the military courts. But except for the contractors. I mean, this is welcome to the wonderful world of privatization. But our leaders must be much more proactive and much more aggressive about this. Anyhow, we'll get back to that later in the hour. As the Catholic Church, the Wall Street Journal today, notes, as the Catholic Church tries to reassert authority over its flocks, abortion rights Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry has gotten caught in the crosshairs. Now, I find this absolutely fascinating. Here you have a church, you know, worldwide, you know, one of the largest churches in the world, over 1 billion members. And the Pope, who I broadly, you know, by and large, think of as a decent man. I mean, I've actually met Pope John Paul II and shook his hand and spoke with him, as has my wife, Louise, 4 years ago, I believe it was. We were invited to his summer palace at Castel Gandolfo in Italy as a consequence of a person on his staff reading a book that I had written. And he has spoken out loudly and aggressively against the United States invading Iraq and against capital punishment. Now, here you have the leader of the Catholic world saying capital punishment is murder. And anyone who signs, any governor who signs an execution warrant is a murderer. George Bush signed 152 of them. You have him saying that the invasion of Iraq, the military invasion of Iraq, before all political options had been exhausted, and before there was a clear demonstration before the rest of the world, the Vatican is one of the countries in the United Nations. Oddly enough, it's the only country that has no women as citizens. But nonetheless, the Vatican is one of the nations in the United Nations, and they were absolutely opposed to our invading Iraq. And given these two realities, now you've got the cons, the Republicans out here, going after John Kerry and trying to whip this whole thing up, especially, you know, the Catholic cons, you know, O'Reilly and whatnot, because you've got folks in the Catholic Church who are saying, well, if a Catholic advocates freedom of choice with regard to abortion,
then he shouldn't get the Eucharist. He shouldn't be available. He shouldn't be able to take communion. And nobody is talking about the church's position on capital punishment, on the invasion of Iraq, on education, on poverty. I mean, this pope is extremely outspoken about issues of poverty and very critical of the behavior of the United States, both domestically and around the world, with regard to poverty. But there's 63.4 million Catholics in the United States, about a fourth of the electorate. In 72, most of them voted for Nixon. In 84, most voted for Reagan. In 2000, 52% of them voted for Al Gore. So this is a swing vote. And George Bush is doing everything he can to woo the Catholics. And you can bet that the Republicans are out there trying to whip this thing up. But they're not going to want to talk about the death penalty. Here's what John Kennedy had to say about this. September 12, 1960, he was speaking before the Greater Houston Ministerial Association. John Kennedy said, "I believe in an America that is officially neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish, where no public official either requests or accepts instructions on public policy from the Pope, the National Council of Churches, or any other ecclesiastical source, where no religious body seeks to impose its will directly or indirectly upon the general populace or the public acts of officials, and where religious liberty is so indivisible that an act against one church is treated as an act against all." Kennedy continued, John Kennedy, for while this year, this was actually a month before the election, he was running for president when he said this, "For while this year it may be a Catholic against whom the finger of suspicion is pointed," speaking of himself, Nixon was trying to, you know, target him as a Catholic, saying, "Oh, he's a Catholic. He'll do the Pope's bidding if he's elected. For example, he'll outlaw abortion." Actually, in 1960, abortion was still outlawed. Anyhow, he'll do the Pope's bidding. John Kennedy says, for while this year it may be a Catholic against whom the finger of suspicion is pointed, in other years it has been and may someday again be a Jew or a Quaker or a Unitarian or a Baptist. It was Virginia's harassment of Baptist preachers, for example, that helped lead to Jefferson's Statute of Religious Freedom. Today, I may be the victim, John Kennedy said, but tomorrow it may be you, until the whole fabric of our harmonious society is ripped at a time of great national peril. Now, today is the day that Harry Truman declared as a national day of prayer, the 6th of May. And tonight, for the first time in primetime viewing hours, Christian cable and satellite TV outlets all across the nation are going to broadcast George Bush's participation in a National Day of Prayer ceremony with evangelical Christian leaders in the White House. Now, I want to say, I really don't think this is a cynical act on his part. I know that there are many who believe that, well, you know, they, during his father's campaign for the presidency, his successful campaign, his first campaign. During his father's first and successful campaign for the presidency, they discovered that if they could mobilize the Protestant evangelical vote, that would be enough to tip it in favor of George Herbert Walker Bush. And his son, George W. Bush, played a huge role in that throughout that campaign, talking to the evangelical community all across America. And they were right, and it was successful. And they're doing it again. And there are those who point to that and say, well, this is just a cynical thing. I don't think so. I really believe that this guy does believe in creationism, that he does believe the theory that was cobbled together in the 19th century that Hal Lindsey popularized in the 1970s with his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, where you kind of selectively go through the Bible and pull things together and create this scenario that there are these prophecies that have to be fulfilled. For example, Israel has to be united. The temple has to be restored on the Temple Mount on the backside of the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. You know, there's a series, as I recall, 54 prophecies. I was real into this, real fascinated by it back in the 70s when Lindsey's book came out. I read it, I got into it. I think George Bush really believes that. and that that will bring about this battle on the plain of Armageddon that will bring about the end of, you know, the end of the world, the rapture. All the good people will suddenly become nudists and float up into the sky, and all the bad people are going to be left to burn, and you know, plagues and the four horsemen of the apocalypse will ride. In fact, I'm concerned that many of his foreign policy decisions are colored by these beliefs. The exact concern that Jack Kennedy expressed. And then you've got Mark Fried, a National Day of Prayer spokesman. He says, we're an election year, and we believe God cares who's in these positions of authority. Yeah, God cares who is president of the United States. Interesting vote that would be, wouldn't it? So anyhow, tonight, George Bush is going to be the man for the evangelicals while his minions are trashing Kerry for not being a good enough Catholic. Interesting times we live in. 20 minutes past the hour. It's Tom Hartman with you. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do they know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
While the world seems to be collapsing around us, there is hope. Tom Hartman's inspiring book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, has just been re-released. The new updated version is available now and offers solutions to the issues that concern us most: eco-damage, genetic engineering, virulent disease, the end of cheap oil, water shortages, global famine, wars. We can still do something about it and create a world that will work for us and our children's children. As the inspiration for Leonardo DiCaprio's web movie, Global Warming, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight details what is happening to our planet, the reason for our culture's blind behavior, and how we can fix the problem. There is information. There is hope. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late. Now with new updated information. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Pine River, Michigan, where the abandoned Velsicol plant leaks cancer-causing chemicals into the water. It's a danger neighbors will be living with for years to come. The Bush administration says polluters no longer have to pay to clean up the mess they leave behind. Taxpayers do. That means less money, fewer cleanups, and more families left at risk. Mr. President, there is a better way. Make polluters pay. Protect our kids and communities.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Has George W. Bush delivered on his 2000 campaign pledge to run the government more like a business? New reports from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and Office of Personnel Management show that the federal workforce grew by a net 70,000 since Bush took office. And these numbers don't even count contractors who now compete for federal work. Of the 12 million people who work in some capacity for the federal government, less than 2 million are actually employed by government agencies.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Tom Harbin here with you, 25 minutes past the hour. Boy, with the Wall Street Journal this morning, they just kind of laid it out. It's really quite remarkable. Sometimes, every now and then, and frankly, when you read publications like the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Fortune, they pull the curtain back more often than you would imagine. And you get to see the man behind the, you know, don't look at that man behind the curtain, you get to see the man behind the curtain. The economic cons love to suggest that they're in favor of competition. Competition is what makes America great. Competition is what we need. Government shouldn't be messing with corporations because that'll inhibit competition. In fact, it's the other way around. As corporations get larger and larger and larger, and monopolies buy up all of their competitors, competition goes away. And the conservative agenda is fundamentally an anti-competitive agenda. It's an anti-free enterprise agenda. Pro-capitalist, what's called laissez-faire capitalism, which is toxic or cancerous capitalism. There is a form of very healthy capitalism. It's what the founders put in place with corporations under tight regulation. Things like the Sherman Antitrust Act, you can't get too big. Because then there's no competition. When the big fish eat all the little fish, and then the big fish, you know, and there's nothing left but one big fish, what do you have? You've got a monopoly. You've got an oligarch. Well, anyhow, here, this article by Sean Young and Almar Latour, on the front page of the Marketplace section of today's Wall Street Journal, just one sentence just tells it all. When Singular Wireless clinched its blockbuster deal to buy AT&T Wireless in February, many industry and market observers breathed a sigh of relief that one competitor in the crowded cell phone market where prices have been plunging would be eliminated. You get that? We're breathing a sigh of relief because there's one less competitor. Now the prices will go back up. Corporations will make more money. CEOs will make more money. We can squeeze the employees harder. Screw the unions. Kill off the middle class. But boy, if you make your money sitting on your butt waiting for your dividend checks to arrive, you don't have to pay payroll tax. You don't have to pay the full income tax. It's not 30%. It's not 31, 32%. No, you pay 15%. Period. When Singular Wireless clinched its blockbuster deal to buy AT&T Wireless in February, many industry and market observers breathed a sigh of relief that one competitor in the crowded cell phone market where prices had been plunging would be eliminated. Yes. And this is, you know, just a symptom of what's going on with the economy right across the board. What people are starting to realize is that although there is happy talk coming out of Washington, D.C. about the economy and coming out of publications like the Wall Street Journal, that really we have a problem. Here, this is another article in the Wall Street Journal today. Despite recovery, Bush is facing doubts on economy poll find. It says, this is by John Harwood, President Bush, already grappling with growing doubts about his Iraq policy, is facing a more surprising article to re-election. Now, why would the Wall Street Journal consider this surprising? Because most of the people who read it and write for it make their living sitting around waiting for their dividend checks to arrive. They pay 15% taxes, and they're not just disconnected from the working Americans. But anyhow, President Bush is facing a more surprising obstacle to re-election, voters' persistent worries about the economy. Despite months of strong growth and recent good news on payroll jobs, 6 in 10 Americans say the economy is headed for trouble rather than prosperity. This is from a Wall Street Journal NBC poll, and they are scratching their heads. How could this be? We don't understand. Everything is wonderful, isn't it? The proportion of Americans who say the economy has improved in the last year has declined significantly since January, as has the proportion who believe it will improve in the next year. Bad news for George Bush, and Americans are looking around going, well, we hear what he says, but, you know, we can see reality. 29 minutes past the hour. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about the Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Last Friday, five janitors were fired for union organizing at Colorado biotech giant Amgen. Several other members of the Service Employees International Union Justice for Janitors campaign were fired from tech companies for fighting poverty wages, a lack of health care, and harassment in the workplace.
The janitors that clean the high-tech industry in particular are some of the most exploited workers.
Valerie Alcaga, director of the Colorado Justice for Janitors campaign, says janitors in the technology industry are exposed to many types of toxic chemicals and sweatshop working conditions.
We have workers that are on their hands and knees for 10 hours a day cleaning the crevices of these clean rooms, for example, at the Intel plant. We have a worker in particular that, you know, has been working 3 years doing this cleaning on her hand and knees. After years and years of putting all the weight on the wrist begin giving out. The company, in this case, has told her that what is wrong with her is that she fell in her house, although this is completely not true. But because they're immigrants and because they think they're not going to stand up, this goes on and on and on until the worker gets tired and quits, right?
Union supporters who appear to be immigrants are being targeted for immigration documentation verification in an effort to break the union.
Tens of thousands of British retirees face a bleak future if Parliament cannot come to agreement on a bailout package for their pensions. Most of them worked for companies that went bankrupt during the latest recession. The Labour-led government is devising a pension protection program to deal with situations like these, but as of now, the plan would not be retroactive, leaving some 60,000 recently busted pensioners out in the cold. A multi-partisan amendment is in the works to fix the issue, but has only received lukewarm support from Prime Minister Tony Blair. Retroactive coverage would cost the government an estimated $120 million a year for the next 30 years, but many MPs think it's a small cost to pay if it restores confidence in the British corporate pension system. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Tax cuts of recent years have not actually been tax cuts at all, according to new analysis from United for a Fair Economy. It says something more like tax shifting has actually been taking place and points to the disparity between federal and state tax rates over the last 3 years. The wealthiest 1% of Americans got nearly $200 billion in tax relief over the last 3 years, while coincidentally, state and local governments suffered budget gaps totaling some $200 billion.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Remember when old ones died and new were born, life was changed, disassembled, rearranged, we came together, fell apart, and broke each other.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Anger fuels calls for revenge, reads the article. This is in the news24.com. Dateline Dubai. This is from a South African news service, actually. This is what the world is getting. Islamic websites were being flooded on Wednesday with reports on the abuse of Iraqi prisoners by U.S. guards, with many people calling for revenge against the new crusaders. That's our soldiers. Our soldiers put it harm's way for this. The crusaders are back. Where are you, Saladin? Says Khalid Haman from Chechnya on the site www.elansar.biz in reference to the 12th century Iraqi Kurdish warrior who defeated Europe's Christian invaders. The pictures are shown with fiery remarks calling for cleansing the honor of Muslims. A Kuwaiti, Sheikh Hamad bin Abdullah al-Ali, said, "The new conservatives, and particularly the gang of Bush, are enjoying the humiliation of Muslims." Another internet user says, "Our anger and revenge will not be appeased until we pierce the eyes which saw the sexual organs of the Iraqis and until the Americans, British, and Israelis are castrated on the banks of the Tigris and Euphrates River." I mean, this is really hot stuff. Let's talk to somebody who might have some insights into what all this means. Stephen Solds is a psychologist and psychoanalyst in Boston on the faculty of the Institute for the Study of Violence of the Boston Graduate School of Psychoanalysis and the founder of Psychoanalysts for Peace and Justice. Dr. Solds, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hello. Good to be here.
Thank you. First of all, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. You wrote this great article about the abuse at Abu Ghraib, the psychodynamics of occupation, the responsibility of us all. Let's start out with this 53-page Pentagon report. When did this thing come out?
Well, it was my understanding is it was completed in February, I believe, but it just became public with Cy Hirsch's article in the New Yorker Friday night.
Right, and it documents some pretty grim stuff. We had Rush Limbaugh yesterday.
Yeah,
saying
it's more it comes out, the worse it gets. First, I mean, Hirsch had some quotes from it, but it seems that the actual document documents even more abuse than he put in his article.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty scary. So what is the psychological reaction of the Iraqis to this? I mean, to what extent do you think that they're going to be pleased or appeased or satisfied by George Bush going on TV and saying, "I don't like this"?
My interpretation is that wasn't even for that purpose, that it was for domestic consumption, because I don't think there was anything in it that would appeal to the Arabs. Or the Iraqis in particular, the Arabs in general. I think he was trying to show the American audience that he was doing something.
Hmm.
I mean, they've lost the war of symbols, and that's like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
The United States was a symbol of freedom and democracy, whatever the realities, and they've been trading on that, but this. At the coming after a period where, as we know, at the beginning of February from that CNN USA Today poll, that the majority of the Iraqis and the overwhelming majority of the non-Kurdish Iraqis had turned against the occupation at the beginning of April, and then we had this massive uprising, and which all accounts say has turned the Iraqis so much against the Americans, and then this.
Yep.
They have nothing left, in some sense. I mean, they've lost the war, and they've lost the symbols.
It certainly seems that way to me. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Solds, a psychologist and psychoanalyst in Boston, and on the faculty Institute for Study of Violence at the Boston Graduate School of Psychoanalysis. And Dr. Solds, we have a caller on that. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number if you'd like to be on. Mark in Grand Rapids has a question for us. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Great. What's up?
Well, my question is, I've been listening for a couple of weeks now, and I just wonder, I've been hearing a lot of comments about what we should do, and basically everything that the Bush administration is doing is wrong. And I was just wondering, what would you do if you were president today and you had, say, 2 years to implement your changes? What would you implement?
Given the fact that we've got this disaster that George Bush lied us into and then had no plan for, you mean given the realities of the current situation, I think that we need to get out of there as quickly as we can. And the step number one, if you want to get any allies involved in helping us get out, and in particular Arab allies, step number one is to say, okay, we are not going to continue to hold to this notion of privatization of Iraqi industries. The whole conservative economic vision that has been laid on top of Iraq, and we've taken all these major industries and major corporations in Iraq and sold them off to big corporations that are beholden to the Bush administration or campaign donors to the Bush administration. In fact, one of his campaign directors from the 2000 campaign has set up shop in Iraq to help sell off the assets of Iraq. And the Iraqis know this. And they see the jobs going to non-Iraqis. And they see the assets and the resources of the country leaving the country. They know that the oil is being sold exclusively to American companies, that the contracts with other countries around the world have been canceled. They know that it's a secret what the price is that the American companies are paying. And they figure there must be something up with that. And so I think that step one would be to undo this conservative takeover of Iraq and this conservative ideology that has been imposed on them, right down to the flat 15% tax that equally hits somebody who's nearly starving to death and working for a dollar an hour and somebody who's making millions. And number two, then, create as quickly as possible, and I think it could be done in a matter of a few months. I mean, if Sadr could have done it back in June, 2 months after the invasion, 3 months after the invasion, we could certainly do it now, is have elections. Have elections and say, okay, you guys, it's your government now. And know that Bush has kicked over a beehive. There's going to be a mess there, but at least it'll be their mess. I mean, we need to be there to the extent, and we and our allies, to the extent that they want us there to, for example, keep peace, provide police services, things like that. But it's time to leave, in my opinion. It's time for us to leave. Not in the way we left Vietnam, but it's time for us to leave. And not the way that Ronald Reagan left Lebanon, which created the same kind of, which created a Vietnam sort of disaster there. But we need a clear exit plan that involves bringing in the rest of the world. That's what John Kerry's been talking about. And it's what George Bush has started moving towards. He's kind of borrowing Kerry's plan. But I think Kerry is far too soft on this thing. And I think he is being, because he knows that if he says what I'm saying, that he'll be attacked, terribly. But
can I add something to that?
Feel free.
Two points I wanted to make. One is there's an assumption in this question. I mean, if someone mugs you and knocks you down, they don't then stand there and say, "Oh, gee, what should I do to help you?" You don't look to that person for help. So the United States is not necessarily the source for help there. It's not the responsibility of the United States in that way. The United States.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I said I would only. I said I would only stay there to the extent that they want us.
If the U.S. wants to help, one thing would be to promise that they'll remove the troops and, in the meantime, place them under international control.
Yeah.
Which John Kerry has not agreed to do. Not have a U.S. general in charge.
Yeah.
Have a someone UN non-U.S.
I agree with you, Mark, and that's maybe what has to happen.
Key sign.
That's maybe what has to happen.
That's
Kerry can't say that.
Because I don't think that this is the seriously remedying the situation is one of the issues.
Your assumption,
Dr. Soles, your thoughts.
Your analogy about the mugging would be your premise is that we are doing the mug, or we mugged those people, and now we're trying to help them. When, if you take a step back further, wouldn't you say that Hussein's reign were the muggers? I mean, couldn't you look at it?
Well,
that
I would
way?
Say that they're two muggers. I mean, certainly the Saddam Hussein regime were muggers, and but they're also Iraqi muggers. The United States never invaded this country, and we now know under false pretenses,
okay.
And they're viewed, regardless of what the past is, all the data is that they're viewed by the overwhelming majority of the non-Kurdish Iraqis. The Kurds feel somewhat differently, that 20% of people. They're viewed as occupiers, not as liberators.
Yeah, good point. Good point, Mark. I got to move along. We got a couple more callers here, and I want Dr. Soles to respond to your points, but I thought they were well made. Dr. Soles, what do you think we should do?
I agree with you that the U.S. has to get out, but I think that it should announce a date that they're going to turn over real sovereignty, not the, quote, limited sovereignty that Colin Powell and others have been promising, that they should internationalize control of the troops, and then offer to say that we will help in whatever way the Iraqis want. It would to promise massive financial aid. You know, if we can afford $200 billion in military costs, we should be able to afford some money to rebuild the country if we think that that's an important, which I certainly do.
And that's the key. Let's move to
that. That should not be under American control. As we have it now, the Pentagon, not even the State Department, is going to control the rebuilding.
Yeah. And it's amazing if you look at the $112,834,475,000 that we've spent as of today in Iraq. That would be enough to pay for 15,952,846 children to spend 1 year in a Head Start program. It would be enough for 48,364,549 children in the United States to have full health insurance for a year. It would be enough for 2,149,228 public school teachers to be hired and paid for one entire year. You know, 2 million school teachers in the United States. It would be enough for 2,862,000 students to have full four-year scholarships at public universities in the United States. And the amount of money that we spent so far in Iraq would be enough for 1,611,000 public housing units to be built in the United States. I mean, I don't think people have any sense of what $200 billion is. We got a few more callers here. Let's move along to them and see. Number two, Gabe in Santa Fe. Gabe, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I got a quick question about the treatment of the Iraqi prisoners, and then I'll take my answer off the air, your answer, rather, off the air.
Or Dr. Soles.
It seems that the government, the United States government, in some fashion or another in the past, supported Saddam Hussein in his brutality in as much as it helped control and govern the people of Iraq. I wonder if you see the similarities between the Americans' treatment of the Iraqi people as any kind of a connection between the two.
That's a good question. Thanks, Gabe. Dr. Soles, do you, and you're looking at this, do you think that the Iraqi people are looking back to the 1980s when Donald Rumsfeld went over there and shook hands with Saddam Hussein and sold him the chemicals necessary to make chemical weapons?
When the U.S. first went in, there was a faction who were optimistic, and you know that image of the United States is the shining
knight in shining armor.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to give one of Reagan's images, but anyway, goes pretty far.
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of people, I think, willing to give him a good chance. Now, of course, what happens when symbols change is that symbol is going to be much greater. People are going to assume that there's a continuity there. And I think, in a way, there is. I mean, one of the first images out of the new Iraq were the generals lined up in the old Saddam Palace in Baghdad, sitting in his chairs. And when I saw that on the front page of the paper, I was flabbergasted. I thought that they would do anything on earth to not have that picture taken. Instead, they were bragging about sitting in Saddam's palace.
Yeah.
That was a bad sign from the beginning. Every one of Saddam's palaces has been taken over by the U.S. That's where the U.S. rules from.
Yeah.
You know, they use the old prisons. They knew the symbolism of those prisons.
Right.
And we now discover that they use many of the same techniques. They've been bringing back many of those officials. So, yes, there is a continuity, unfortunately. And I think symbolically there's going to be a continuity in people's minds that no amount of pious words is going to change.
Yeah, well said. 1-866-889-8894. For Steve in Santa Fe, New Mexico, is on the line. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to ask your guest if he was aware of a psychological, it was an experiment. I guess it was done back in the 70s. And what they were trying to find out is how the Nazis would go along with such a horrible thing. And what they did was are you still there?
Yeah.
Yes.
What they did was they got these people to administer shocks to people. And the people weren't really receiving the shocks,
right,
but they were feigning that they were having heart attacks. And the whole gist of the thing is if under orders, you would do something horrible.
Yeah, and these were simply first-year psych students, as I recall. I remember when the study came out. You probably know more about it, Dr. Soles, than I do.
Yeah, there are two classic experiments that are very different that are both relevant to the understanding what's going on now. That's the Milgram experiment done by Samuel Milgram. They people who were ordinary people off the street were not necessarily college students, but they were told that they were administering shocks to this other person. They were doing a learning task, and if they got something wrong, they needed to administer shocks. And then the experimenter in a white lab coat would tell them to continue and give them what appeared to be harder and harder shocks. The people were screaming, stop. But the experiment said, you have to continue. The experiment requires you to continue. And something like 60% of the people went to the very end where the dial was marked, warning, lethal, extreme danger.
Yeah. Do you think that's what happened? I mean, we've only got about a half a minute left here. Do you think that that's what happened with our soldiers there? Do you think that they're just responding to orders?
No, I don't think that's. I think it shows that anyone is capable of various kinds of atrocities. But I think what we've got there is more a lack of any control and a sense of being in charge and without any controls on them. At the same time, they're in a terrifying foreign culture that they don't understand. They don't speak the language. They've got no orientation on the culture. And they're exhausted and terrified.
So you think this behavior might be... Let's continue this conversation. Can you stick around over this break?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Sold, psychologist and psychoanalyst in Boston, the Faculty Institute for the Study of Violence at the Boston Graduate School of Psychoanalysis. This is Tom Hartman. 10 minutes before the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartman's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the project for the new American century's vision for America. Here's what syndicated cartoonist Ted Rawl said after reading We the People.
An ambitious effort to explain everything that's wrong in America, how things got this way, and what should be done about it. We the People is the product of a brilliant and principled thinker.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Lipliski. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Lipliski's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
The virus that causes AIDS might throw some developing countries into social turmoil. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Countries with large populations of HIV-positive citizens face years of social unrest and violence. That's the view of Robert Engelman, a vice president of the nonprofit group Population Action International.
HIV/AIDS really kills large numbers of people in the middle-aged population, and it leaves young people behind, so there's an even greater proportion of young people, sometimes called a youth bulge.
Engelman's group has found that countries with a youth bulge, large numbers of people between the ages of 15 and 29, are more prone to social conflict.
Our theory is that it changes the age structure in unprecedented ways. It's more the younger, middle-aged people who die from the disease. So the people who are dying of AIDS in a country that is really ravaged by this disease typically are in their most productive years. They're people in their 30s, people in their 40s, some people in their 50s. It artificially increases the youth bulge, which is something that we've documented is highly correlated with conflict.
Engelman says HIV/AIDS is hitting hardest in countries that already suffer from poverty and social unrest.
It artificially boosts the youth bulge that already exists in many of these societies, and it deprives the societies of leadership. And it just suggests that there's going to be increasing problems providing jobs, maintaining economic development, and keeping a stable society.
Engelman says more generous assistance in the fight against HIV/AIDS can help address the health of individuals and whole societies. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. You get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger.
Maybe. And welcome back. 4 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman with you. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Soles, a psychologist and expert on the psychology of violence. Dr. Soles, you have a website. It is SolesResearch.com?
No, the most relevant one would be the Iraq Occupation and Resistance Report.
Okay, and what's that website? Very cool.
psychoanalystopposewar.org/ORR.htm.
Okay, great.
.html.
Okay, great. And we have, let's see, Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico is on. He has a question for you. Hey, Roy, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I've got two quick comments and then two quick questions, and we can catch up. I am so saddened and so disheartened with the lack of outrage from the right wing. I mean, the racism that comes into this just infuriates me. That's one comment. The second comment, it concerns me that we are now the boogeyman for all of the youngsters in the whole Middle East.
Well, all over, I mean,
there's flowers to us.
All over the planet, Roy. Roy, do you have a question for Dr. Soles? We've only got a minute.
Two quick questions. The president said that he didn't know about this till he saw it on TV. Then we know he knew it back in January or February. So he lied. He lied on Iraqi TV, but he didn't offer to go on Al Jazeera because that's a propaganda machine.
Right. He's still trying to punish
them. Comment on those, okay?
Sure.
And
okay.
I'll get off and take it off the air.
Thanks, Roy. Okay, Dr. Soles, we got about a minute left here. Oop. Yeah, you're
there. We know that he was informed of this investigation earlier. However, also knowing about his style, he doesn't seem to be a very inquisitive person. So he may actually be technically not quite lying. He may not have asked any questions. You know, he's a man who doesn't read the newspapers. He doesn't read anything. He talks about how he relies on his aides to inform him. And they may very well have chosen to inform him in one sentence. Who knows?
Yeah. So what's the best thing that we can do? How can we make lemonade out of this lemon here in 30 seconds?
I think the U.S. has to say that it is going to get out of Iraq and is going to surrender its control there. Because as long as the U.S. has control, nothing is going to remedy this, I don't think. They've lost the battle of symbols, and I just can't imagine how they can recover it.
It's time for us to just step back. Dr. Stephen Soles, S-O-L-D-Z. Thank you very much for being with us, Doctor.
Thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Last Friday, five janitors were fired for union organizing at Colorado biotech giant Amgen. Several other members of the Service Employees International Union Justice for Janitors campaign were fired from tech companies for fighting poverty wages, a lack of health care, and harassment in the workplace.
The janitors that clean the high-tech industry in particular are some of the most exploited workers.
Valerie Alcaga, director of the Colorado Justice for Janitors campaign, says janitors in the technology industry are exposed to many types of toxic chemicals and sweatshop working conditions.
We have workers that are on their hands and knees for 10 hours a day cleaning the crevices of these clean rooms, for example, at the Intel plant. We have a worker in particular that, you know, has been working 3 years doing this cleaning on her hand and knees. After years and years of putting all the weight on the wrists begin giving out. The company in this case has told her that what is wrong with her is that she fell in her house, although this is completely not true. But because they're immigrants and because they think they're not going to stand up, this goes on and on and on until the worker gets tired and quits, right?
Union supporters who appear to be immigrants are being targeted for immigration documentation verification in an effort to break the union.
Tens of thousands of British retirees face a bleak future if Parliament cannot come to agreement on a bailout package for their pensions. Most of them worked for companies that went bankrupt during the latest recession. The Labour-led government is devising a pension protection program to deal with situations like these, but as of now, the plan would not be retroactive, leaving some 60,000 recently busted pensioners out in the cold. A multi-partisan amendment is in the works to fix the issue, but has only received lukewarm support from Prime Minister Tony Blair. Retroactive coverage would cost the government an estimated $120 million a year for the next 30 years, but many MPs think it's a small cost to pay if it restores confidence in the British corporate pension system. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Tax cuts of recent years have not actually been tax cuts at all, according to new analysis from United for a Fair Economy. It says something more like tax shifting has actually been taking place and points to the disparity between federal and state tax rates over the last 3 years. The wealthiest 1% of Americans got nearly $200 billion in tax relief over the last 3 years, while coincidentally, state and local governments suffered budget gaps totaling some $200 billion.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Have you visited 100fires.com lately? If not, then you're missing out on thousands of books for a better world. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, creating more livable communities, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Writers used to sacrifice for their art.
subsisting on stale biscuits and cheap wine, letting their health go as they wrote day and night. No such suffering for Carol Matthews, though. She's a British writer of what is called edgy romantic comedy novels aimed at young contemporary women. And rather than sacrifice, she has simply sold her artistic self to Ford Motor Company. In the latest intrusion of corporate advertising into every nook and cranny of everyone's existence, Ford has paid a pile of money to Miss Matthews in exchange for her pledge literally to write the company's products into her romantic novels. It seems that Ford is eager to pitch its Fiesta car to 28 to 35-year-old women on their way up the career ladder. Apparently, this is the very demographic that Matthews' books reach. Chick lit, it's known in the biz. So Ford has become a literary character. For example, in a special short story written for the company, she drops in a reference to, quote, whizzing around Buckinghamshire in Imogene, a rather snazzy Ford Fiesta complete with 6-CD changer, air conditioning, and thoroughly comfy seats. Art meets ad copy, and ad copy wins by a knockout. Matthews, who also is appearing in ads for Ford, says she's not troubled by this corporatization of her work. Quote, I've been very pleased with Ford in that they haven't put any constraints on my writing at all, she gushed. Well, good gollies, Ms. Matthews, I'm sure they won't, as long as you keep writing breathless copy like that. But what have you tried to, you know, test your corporate freedom by writing something like, whizzing around Buckinghamshire, my snazzy Ford Fiesta sputtered and died on me again, just as the 6-CD changer went on the fritz and spewed blue smoke in my face. This is Jim Hightower saying, who would buy a particular car just because some writer mentions it in a novel? And Ford wonders why it's falling behind Japanese car makers?
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. The second hour of the program today, our Thursday segment. Before I get to this, it's time for Everything You Know Is Wrong, one of our more interesting segments of the week. But before we get to that, this news flash, U.S. troops, this from Reuters. I mean, this just came down the wire literally a few minutes ago in the last hour. U.S. troops attack Shiite militia forces around the holy city of Najaf, seizing the local governor's office and killing 41 fighters. Said a senior official, in what seemed a broad move against insurgents across southern Iraq, U.S. tanks moved unopposed into the center of the nearby holy city of Karbala, destroying offices used by the Mehdi army militia of Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Reuters correspondents in Najaf saw and heard fierce battles in and around Najaf and the nearby town of Kufa. One saw U.S. tanks at the governor's building on Najaf's main street, several miles from Shiite Islam's holiest shrines. In Karbala, residents saw U.S. tanks blast away at Sadr's office with heavy machine gun fire before taking up positions in the city center, 500 yards from the main shrines. So it looks like, we're taking the offensive, as they say. We'll see how this one works out. If you can't win their hearts and minds, then you scare them. Well, Sadr This is a complex situation, and this is not the exact right time to be talking about it. So we'll rant about that later on. Right now, it's time for the time when we think about things that maybe we didn't know. What you didn't know, you didn't know. What you didn't know, you do know. What you didn't know that you need to know.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right.
You suspect you're out of sync.
You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Is it? John Rainwater is executive director of the Peace Education Fund. He's also the executive director of California Peace Action. And he's with us today. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, how will you write and talk about the nuclear situation? The Bush administration is planning to repeal the legal ban on developing so-called mini nukes. These are nuclear weapons that are designed to be more usable than like the intercontinental ballistic, blow up all of Russia variety. And also pushing for funds for a new generation of nukes. What's this all about? What's going on here?
Well, it really illuminates that the Bush administration's foreign policy is the wrong way to protect us. And I think a lot of our eyes rightly are focused on places like Najaf and Fallujah and the problems there. But it goes way beyond that. And there is a new generation of nuclear weapons that the Bush administration would like to build. These are the mini nukes and the bunker busters. Recently came out that the Bush administration would like to spend $500 million developing the bunker busters, for example. And this is foolish for several reasons. In the first case, this is going to set off a new nuclear arms race.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
spending
more money now than we did during the peak of the Cold War on nuclear weapons, which most people, appropriately for this segment, don't know that.
Wait a second. We're spending more money building nuclear weapons right now than we were during the Cold War when we had 10, 12,000 of them pointed at the Soviet Union?
Building and developing nuclear weapons and maintaining the huge stockpiles of nuclear weapons that we already have on hand. The amount of money we're spending, even when you take into account inflation, is just a little bit over what the Cold War peak was. So if people think nuclear war and nuclear weapons and the nuclear threat was a thing of the Cold War, welcome to the era of George W. Bush. He's got something different in mind.
But isn't isn't every country in the world going to say, hey, we're going to do this too? I mean, and not just, England and France and Russia, but, I mean, Pakistan and India and North Korea and who knows who else?
That's exactly the point. At a time when we ought to be leading a worldwide effort on nuclear nonproliferation because of all the problems we have. When we threaten to build these new nukes, immediately Russia and China respond. And when Russia and China respond, India responds. And when India responds, Pakistan responds. And on down the line. And we ought to be doing the exact opposite in terms of controlling the nuclear threat, and the steps that the Bush administration taking are actually increasing the chances of a serious nuclear arms race.
Now, the folks within the Bush administration and hawks in general would say to you, this is a dangerous world. There's people out there who want to kill us. There's nasty folks. There are, not just, bin Ladens who are unaffiliated with countries, mm-hmm. but there are entire nation states that would like to bring us down. We've got it. We've got to update our armaments. We've got to have these new, fancier nuclear weapons. The nuclear war of the future will not be a Hiroshima-type bomb killing, 100,000, 200,000 civilians. Instead, it's going to be the sort of thing where, you've got to take out strategic targets. And so we need nuclear weapons for that. By the way, our phone number, if any of our callers want to get in on this, 1-866-889-8894. The Bush administration would say, what about that? I mean, we need this new generation of weapons.
Well, I think we at the Peace Education Fund would agree that this is a dangerous world, and this is exactly the wrong way to go about protecting this country. If you think about it, whether it's a small group of terrorists or it's a nation that wants to get at us, they're not going to do it with ballistic weapons, generally. Most of these nations don't have the ballistic weapons to get at us. It's going to come in through a port. And so, for example, and the Bush administration is cutting funds for port security. We're cutting funds to and underfunding programs to lock up, for example, highly enriched uranium around the world, which could be used for a new small nuclear device. We're not spending money on the type of things that would protect the country, and we're spending money on these programs that the military hasn't even asked for these programs. The Defense Department is not saying we need these programs. This is being ideologically driven by folks in the White House and others who want to see these weapons develop, but it's not something that anyone's ever made a good military argument for.
We're talking with John Rainwater of the Peace Education Fund. John, is there a website, by the way, that you have?
There is, www.peaceeducationfund.org. It's the longest URL in the world, perhaps.
Very straightforward. Okay, then what if we're spending more money on nuclear weapons now than we were even at the peak of the Cold War? The Bush administration is trying to develop new tactical what they call battlefield tactical nukes, as I recall.
Exactly.
Right. They're trying to develop these things. We're triggering off an international arms race. We're violating international nuclear test ban treaties and other treaties. You know, we've already said we're going to walk away from the ABM treaty and all these things. Why, you know, the two arguments that I hear about why they're doing this are number one, that they are sociopaths, that these guys are like mentally deranged. I mean, you know, that they have such a high level of fear and anxiety that drives them that it blinds their ability to actually see what the real situation in the world is, understand how diplomacy works. It's the bully psychology thing. Right. Number one, or number two, that the companies that will make these things are giving huge amounts of money to this administration, which they need in order to get reelected. Which is it, or is it both?
I think it's a little bit of both, and I would add to the first scenario, just being blinded by ideology and a very my way or the highway type of approach.
What is the ideology, then?
Well, I mean, I'm sure your listeners and yourself are familiar with it. It's a neoconservative ideology, a kind of new version of Manifest Destiny, where the United States should be an imperial power and shouldn't listen to other countries. I mean, one of our major points here on the weapons, on the Iraq war, et cetera, is that we've completely abandoned the notion of international cooperation. And I think at the core of their ideology is a notion that we do whatever we want to do, and we don't have to worry about the way that the world perceives us. And so we've squandered all of that goodwill that we had after September 11th, and our America's image in the eyes of the world is lower than it's ever been. And for a president to do that is a crime. But I think that that's at the core of their ideology. But I also think, you know, these programs, and I think we're also opposing missile defense this year as an incredibly expensive and counterproductive and dangerous program, and I think you can see in that program as well in the new nukes the hands of the defense industry.
But there's a certain logic, isn't there? I mean, if we're going to build more nukes and more missiles, and everybody else is going to as a result, then we need to protect ourselves from their nukes and missiles, which they're building because we built ours first.
Well, again, we need to first fund the programs that deal with the most likely threat, and that's things like port security and right. The loose nukes in Russia, and those programs are being underfunded. In fact, every military expert doesn't expect that we're going to be hit by another country ballistically, but in fact, missile defense does not work. All the tests say that it does not work. The tests occasionally where we've hit a missile with a missile, it's only because there was only one missile, it was during the day, they made the missile give off more
the weather was good, all that stuff, the studies were completely rigged.
It's completely rigged. So the thing does not work, yet we're spending tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars on it, throwing money down a hole when we could be spending on things that really protect us. But again, the problem with missile defense is that it encourages other countries to build more nuclear weapons to easily overwhelm these ridiculous missile defense systems. Right. So it doesn't make us more.
It doesn't work.
More
it just doesn't
safe.
Work. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number. If you'd like to participate, Dave in Humboldt County. We've only got a minute and a half or so left. Dave in Humboldt County, California, is on the line. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Sociopathy is a term that often comes to mind with me in this administration. I do believe that the people that put them in office are strictly interested in profit. I'm presently reading the new Pearl Harbor, and I would recommend it to everybody to understand this kind of sociopathic, exploit the people, rape the treasury kind of behavior that we're seeing. I think it would be profitable to make these weapons at some level.
Yeah, John, Dave, did you have a question for John Rainwater?
If you ask his comment on that, does he think it might be possible that it's all driven by some money as consistent with everything else about the administration?
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you, Dave. Do you see some sort of a conspiracy here? I mean, the book that Dave referenced is kind of the high book right now what are sometimes dismissively referred to as conspiracy theorists. I think there's some solid stuff in it, but, you know, what do you think?
Well, I think you almost don't have to go to conspiracy. I mean, I think there's a lot of...
It's just right out there in the open, right?
It's out there in the
Project
open.
Project for a New American Century.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. They've been planning this kind of approach to world dominance in the think tanks like the People for a New American Century for over a decade. And now those people are in government. It's in the national security strategy of the United States. They talk about protecting resources like oil. They talk about targeting other countries with nuclear weapons. It's in our nuclear posture review. I mean, it's right out there in the open what they have planned for the world, and it's terrifying.
Yeah, we don't need a conspiracy theory. John Rainwater, PeaceEducationFund.org. John, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the Pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tide that binds, because you're mine.
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you. The late, great Johnny Cash. What an extraordinary musician. Anyhow, poll results. Today's Wall Street Journal poll result. The Wall Street Journal commissioned a study, along with NBC News, of how voters are, you know, responding to the situation right now. And this is absolutely fascinating. It looks like John Kerry is going to win. I mean, you know, how else to say it? If you look at the elections going back to 1976, Gerald Ford, at this point in time, you look at the job approval rating of the president. Just, you know, this is a, granted, this is a small criteria. But if you look at this point in time, Gerald Ford was at 47%. He lost. Jimmy Carter was at 43%. He lost. George H.W. Bush was at 40%. He lost. George W. Bush is at 47%, the same as Gerald Ford was. The two who won at this point in a re-election cycle, Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan, were both at 52% at this point in the cycle. They were both over that 50% mark. Everybody who was below that 50% mark lost when November came along. I find that fascinating. The poll results, says John Harwood here in the Wall Street Journal, poll results reflect a mood closer to the unsuccessful 1992 re-election campaign of the current president's father than to prevailing sentiment during Bill Clinton's successful bid for a second term in 1996. Only 42% say they are better off than 4 years ago, compared to 33% who say they are worse off. Pluralities of political independents, swing voters, and senior citizens all say they become worse off under Bush. The Democrat and the Republican who put this poll together, it's a, you know, they've got a Democratic pollster, Peter Hart, and a Republican pollster, Robert Teeter, and they do these things together. And, you know, so they, I guess so that there's some assumption that there's no bias in the poll, or that the bias has been, you know, canceled out or filtered out. Anyhow, both of them say together, viewed through the voter's lens, there is neither peace nor prosperity. You know, historically, when presidents have run for re-election, they've run on either one, the other, or both. 4 in 10 Bush supporters, now here, this is startling, 40% of the Bush voters, the people who say they're going to vote for Bush right now, 40% of them say they might reconsider their vote, they might vote for John Kerry, for reasons including the economy losing more jobs, events in Iraq growing worse, or, and I found this absolutely fascinating, 40% of people who today say they are going to vote for George Bush say they may instead vote for John Kerry if, quoting this article in the Wall Street Journal, who commissioned this study, if the president continues emphasizing conservative social values such as banning same-sex marriages or abortion. Isn't that remarkable? You know, people are saying, hey, you see, America's more liberal than the cons think. America, you know, all the way back to our founders, to George Washington, who called himself a liberal and called America a liberal nation. All the way up, you know, all the way through, the reality is that if George Bush hadn't lied to us in 2000 and said he was a compassionate conservative, he wasn't a real hard line, hard right conservative, he was a compassionate conservative. If he hadn't lied to us, he wouldn't have gotten elected. Well, he wasn't elected anyway, but he wouldn't have only lost by 500,000 votes. He would have lost by 2 or 3 million votes if he had really told the truth about what he was up to. And now it's been exposed. The mask has come off. We know what's going on. We know who this guy is. A 49% plurality of voters say he doesn't deserve a second term. This is from the Wall Street Journal poll. By a 50 to 33% margin, voters say the nation is headed in the wrong direction. Amen. Time for a change. Be sure you are registered to vote. Be sure that at least 10 friends of yours are registered to vote and wake them up. Tell them what's going on. Get them out there. It's the Tom Hartman Program, 29 minutes past the hour.
A must-read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Hallowell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Last Friday, five janitors were fired for union organizing at Colorado biotech giant Amgen. Several other members of the Service Employees International Union Justice for Janitors campaign were fired from tech companies for fighting poverty wages, a lack of health care, and harassment in the workplace.
The janitors that clean the high-tech industry in particular are some of the most exploited workers.
Valerie Alcaga, director of the Colorado Justice for Janitors campaign, says janitors in the technology industry are exposed to many types of toxic chemicals and sweatshop working conditions.
We have workers that are on their hands and knees for 10 hours a day cleaning the crevices of these clean rooms, for example, at the Intel plant. We have a worker in particular that, you know, has been working 3 years doing this cleaning on her hand and knees. After years and years of putting all the weight on the wrist begin giving out. The company in this case has told her that what is wrong with her is that she fell in her house, although this is completely not true. But because they're immigrants and because they think they're not going to stand up, this goes on and on and on until the worker gets tired and quits, right?
Union supporters who appear to be immigrants are being targeted for immigration documentation verification in an effort to break the union.
Tens of thousands of British retirees face a bleak future if Parliament cannot come to agreement on a bailout package for their pensions. Most of them worked for companies that went bankrupt during the latest recession. The Labour-led government is devising a pension protection program to deal with situations like these, but as of now, the plan would not be retroactive, leaving some 60,000 recently busted pensioners out in the cold. A multi-partisan amendment is in the works to fix the issue, but has only received lukewarm support from Prime Minister Tony Blair. Retroactive coverage would cost the government an estimated $120 million a year for the next 30 years, but many MPs think it's a small cost to pay if it restores confidence in the British corporate pension system. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Tax cuts of recent years have not actually been tax cuts at all, according to new analysis from United for a Fair Economy. It says something more like tax shifting has actually been taking place and points to the disparity between federal and state tax rates over the last 3 years. The wealthiest 1% of Americans got nearly $200 billion in tax relief over the last 3 years, while coincidentally, state and local governments suffered budget gaps totaling some $200 billion.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Especially cowboys like George Bush.
Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such.
There you go.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up.
We got enough cowboy. One cowboy in the White House is enough for all time. Although I suppose you can't really call George Bush a cowboy because he's afraid of horses, so he couldn't be a cowpoke. But anyhow, 1-866-889-8894, telephone number, 26 minutes before the hour. One last and fascinating item out of this Wall Street Journal NBC poll that was reported in today's Wall Street Journal. A 47% plurality says the war was not worth its human and financial cost to the U.S., this being the war in Iraq. And the proportion who say U.S. troops should remain as long as necessary has fallen from 56% in January to 44% today. Voters predict by 51% to 27% that Iraq will not be able to maintain a stable democratic government. People are very, very pessimistic about this. 6 in 10 Americans say John Kerry has the right experience and background to be president. So, interesting stuff from today's Wall Street Journal in that poll. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Harriet in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on WSDS, is on the line. Hey, Harriet, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Tom. I wanted to pass along a couple observations and about some different topics today. Going to those poll results, Bush was in the Detroit area Monday, and some family members of mine went to the demonstration, and of course, you know, expecting to be herded far away from his crowd, but they got a look at the parking lot. They were expecting to see some, you know, pretty plush cars, mm-hmm. and I'm told that the cars were kind of pathetic, rusted out. One of my relatives really felt that it's the churches getting the tickets and getting the bodies to show up.
Oh, yeah. His evangelical base is, this is the kind of the dirty little secret of the Republican campaign, is that they are using the churches very, very heavily in this thing.
Yeah, well...
not that people in churches drive ratty old cars, Harriet. I mean, you know, I'm not sure that there's necessarily a correlation there, but they're catering, in this campaign right now, he is catering electorally far more to evangelical Christians than he is to fat cats, you know, the traditional Republican constituency.
Well, openly anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Publicly.
Yeah.
Policy. So.
Policy is a different thing. Well,
yeah,
policy,
sure.
Actually, he's catering to both of them, too. Mm. I mean, they're handing, you know, by executive order. He couldn't get it through Congress, so by executive order, he just wrote a, you know, let's hand a few hundred million dollars to Jerry Falwell and these, you know, Ralph Reed, all these different groups, and Reverend Moon and whatnot, and, you know, buy their loyalty.
Yeah, except, you know, they accept their followers aren't helped economically or by having their kids sent to slaughter. I don't know, maybe there's some hope that's going to be the only support left. The other thing, I happened to hear another show yesterday where someone, the topic was the torture of prisoners. Someone mm-hmm. called in talking about the fact that the administration had the report months ago, didn't respond. This guy made the connection that the administration had the Supreme Court case coming up with the detainees. So this was another thing in their interest, another point where...
To keep it buried.
They didn't want to talk about what was going on in the Iraqi prison because, you know, just leave Guantanamo to us. People don't need lawyers. We can take care of everything.
Right. Well, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but it is.
Yeah.
I hadn't.
The host hadn't. I think it is a very good point. And also, you know, finally, also with that whole situation with the torture, there is that issue of the contractor involvement, the fact that they're not subject to laws, the fact that, you know, this has been the plan to have these people active, not only in Iraq, but future conflicts. So,
well, you have to keep in mind,
Congress.
You have to keep in mind, however, Harriet, that Rush Limbaugh tells us this isn't torture, this is frat hazing, and that the women who are doing this are just doing something that you would expect to see Madonna do.
Yeah, however, you know, we have to keep working at appealing to...
We have to wake up America!
...whatever ability people have left.
Yeah, we have to wake up America. These right-wing cranks are nuts. I mean, this is over the... Absolutely over the top. The other thing that I found interesting was in one of the studies that I saw, I believe this was Amnesty International's, they were suggesting that the majority of the really serious civil rights complaints and torture complaints happened between August and December of last year, and that maybe even many of these pictures date back to that time period. And that was the time period when the Bush administration was getting all these negative hits. They were getting a lot of negative publicity. There were all these scandals coming out, big problems coming out, and they were desperate for good news, and the push was on really, really hard to find Saddam Hussein. And that was somehow related to this. Anyhow, Harriet, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you, Tom.
I appreciate it. Good
Great
to hear
job.
From you. And thanks for listening there in Ann Arbor, Michigan. 1-866-889-8894. Jeff is on the line. He's listening to us on KTRC in Santa Fe, I would assume. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, it is KTRC. Yeah, I was watching Jim Lehrer last night, and your first guest kind of implied the same thing. You know, it didn't seem to me it was really an interview. He was campaigning.
Who was campaigning?
Bush.
Oh, you mean when
during
he went on?
The,
he went
the, on I'm sorry, on, during the Arab
on,
interview.
On El Arabiya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it appeared to me like he was campaigning. You know, at one point I thought he was going to pull out red, white, and blue pom-poms and start dancing around.
Well, you know, that's when he was at Andover. His only extracurricular activity was cheerleader when he was in high school. He was the, I'm serious. This is the truth. He was for
is
2 years,
right?
He was the captain of the cheerleading team at Andover, you know, with the same school his father went to. His father was the head of the football team. George W. Bush was the head cheerleader for Andover. Yeah, for 2 years.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what he's doing now, right? Cheney runs the government, and he's a cheerleader.
Yeah.
But he said something interesting. He said, during this interview, he said, "We have nothing to hide. We believe in transparency."
Yeah, this is right after they went to the Supreme Court and said, please don't let the people know who was in that energy meeting. Please don't tell anybody.
There's nothing transparent about this administration.
No. No.
Anyway, you know, it's one thing. It's one thing every week. It seems like it's either a book or something happens. I mean, what's it going to take for people to really wake up?
Well, I think they already are. I mean, survey in the Wall Street Journal today, this is incredible. I mean, you know, it's
47, but it still seems like it should be, his approval rating should be much lower than 47%.
Well, number one, you still have a lot of people who haven't started to pay attention to this stuff. Number two, you've got a lot, because they are, most of these ads that are actually running on cable. They're very targeted buys into specific swing states. A lot of people aren't seeing the political advertising. And even if they are, they're not paying that much attention, number one. And number two, you've got a lot of people who are listening to right-wing talk radio or who are watching Fox News, and they're just always going to be misinformed. I mean,
right.
It's just really simple. They believe the lies, and they just openly believe the lies. I mean, when the FAIR did this fascinating study where they asked people who watch Fox News versus people who watch any other news division to get their news regularly, and either 70 or 77% of those who watch Fox News believe that that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and that Saddam had something to do with 9/11.
Right.
And whereas only 35% of people who watch other news believe that, and of course the administration really tried to peddle that. We got to take our successes where we can get them. I see this as a good one. It's a good start, and you know, John Kerry is moving in the right direction in my
opinion. Well, unfortunately, after you're on, we get Joseph Farah.
Yeah, well, I can't speak to the programming decisions.
I know, you don't. I will. He's despicable.
Yeah.
He demonizes everybody. He's disingenuous. He acts like he's somebody he's not. It's just...
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, you know, Jeff...
As far as I know, he's gone as soon as the 3 months is up with KTRC.
Okay. So. I don't want to get into that, Jeff.
No, so. I understand.
But thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great to
thank
hear from you.
For doing...
Yep. I'm doing my best here. The nation's top 50 polluting power plants... This is shocking. This from BushGreenWatch.org. The nation's top 50 polluting power plants are owned by corporations that are tightly aligned with the Bush administration, both as major campaign contributors and in conducting pollution policy making. The nation's dirtiest 50 power plants are owned by you get this? This is a study that was just published by the Environmental Integrity Project and Public Citizen. A public citizen. You know, this is one of those groups that Ralph Nader started. Why doesn't he go back to doing the kind of stuff that really makes a difference rather than running around like a... Well, we have been trying to get Ralph Nader on this program. He won't come on. It's amazing. We've been trying to get a right-wingers on the program, too. Our goal was to have two right-wingers every single week on this program, and they just won't come on anymore. It's very strange. I mean, you know, maybe if there's any right-wingers listening, call. We need some conflict. It's kind of depressing. You know, Michael Medved will have me on his show, but, you know, nobody wants to come on this. They're what? Logic? What? Facts? No, we're not going to. Anyhow, here we are. The firm cited in the study, along with the trade associations, met at least 17 times. This is out of the 50 most polluting power plants. Met at least 17 times with Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force. The report found that since 1999, the 30 largest utility companies owning the majority of the 89 dirtiest power plants in the study have contributed $6.6 million to the Bush presidential campaigns and the Republican National Committee. The 30 companies also hired at least 16 lobbying or law firms that have raised at least $3.4 million more for the Bush campaigns. Eric Schaefer, maybe you remember this name, Eric Schaefer, and it was early in 2002. He was the head of the EPA's Office of Regulatory Enforcement, and he resigned as a matter of conscience. He said, I can't continue doing this with this administration. He was a civil servant. He'd been there in the EPA for years and years. He said, that's it. I'm out of here. And so he says, his comment about this study, it's no coincidence, says Eric Schaefer, that a wholesale assault on the Clean Air Act is taking place today. This is a well-connected industry that is absolutely intent on preserving its, quote, right, end quote, to foul the air, regardless of the consequences to the American people. The study also lists five former executives or lobbyists for the electric utility industry who have been placed in important regulatory posts in the Bush administration. One is the assistant administrator of EPA's Office of Air and Radiation. Another is counsel to that office, the lawyer for the EPA's Office of Air and Radiation. And a third is the deputy administrator of the entire EPA. A fourth is now in charge of all government lawsuits against coal-fired power plants. Boy, talk about putting the fox in charge of the henhouse. And the fifth helped write national energy policy as assistant secretary at the Department of Energy. You can find the whole report at environmentalintegrity.org. Mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. Well, in a way. And in a way, it's probably, you know, it should be just exactly what we expect. This is exactly what George Bush did in Texas. And so it really shouldn't surprise us. It really shouldn't. It's one of the reasons Houston today has some of the dirtiest air in America. Certainly some of the most toxic air. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Roberta in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Roberta, what's up?
Hi, homo homini lupus. That's what Freud said, a man is a wolf to man.
Yeah.
You know, Freud believed he wouldn't have been surprised by any of this because he believed that man was innately aggressive and
Freud had a pretty dim view of things. You know, he ended up committing suicide.
Oh,
and,
he did?
Yeah, he did. And
well, people treated him pretty badly, too.
And, well, and the last...
But
well, he was
not a believer either in a higher power.
Well, who knows? But he was dying of cancer. He was in a lot of pain. I mean, you have to give him that. But there was a study done by one of the big psychological groups. I forget which one right now. I don't have it in front of me. It's in one of my books. This was about 4 years ago on people who had been through long-term Freudian psychoanalysis. And they became progressively over time, the majority of them, became more depressed, more anxious, and more sour and bitter, more and more like Freud himself.
Well, thank God Jung came along and
yes, yeah,
added another dimension.
Carl Jung broke the... and that's why him and Freud ended up in these terrible fights. Carl Jung came along and broke the mold. Anyhow, but
really
you didn't call to talk
say,
about psychology.
Yeah. I wanted to thank you for your brilliant opening this morning about the Pope. The Holy Father, and I am appalled as an American Catholic. I have often not called myself a Roman Catholic because I haven't really subscribed to the power of the Vatican in as much as they are pontificating more than they are working the values. And this Pope has changed all that. So what, I'm curious to know what book of yours it was. I'm impressed that he read, and I'm impressed that you got to meet him.
Yeah, it wasn't actually the Pope who read it. It was a fellow by the name of Giancarlo Molinari. Anyhow,
what book was it?
The book was called The Prophet's Way. And
okay. Well, I really have to say that I'm embarrassed now to be an American Catholic, because none of the priests are subscribing to the Pope's dictum, the dictum of the Holy Father, that this is an unjust war and must not be fought. And all Roman Catholics, to all Catholics in America, to be conscientious objectors.
Yeah, but Roberta, I think, you know,
not only a right but a duty to do this.
Yeah, let me just say, in defense of American Catholics, and I'm not one of them. I was raised Protestant, but there are a lot of Catholics in America who are speaking out. There are, you know, it's just that they're not getting the press coverage.
Well, yes, and
what's getting the press coverage are the Catholics who are attacking John Kerry
in New Mexico, who is working on parishes because of the priest shortage at his own volition. But his name is John Deere, D-E-A-R, and he actually has been removed from some of the parishes in northern New Mexico for being a nonviolent advocate of Gandhi and for being outspoken and working with the peace movement. He's an extraordinary...
Sounds like a good man. Sounds like a good man. Roberta, thanks for the call. I'm sorry we got to go here. The music is up. 10 minutes before the hour. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely, because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Big institutions have a lot of consumer power, and they can put it to good use. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. More individuals and families are choosing to buy organic food, hybrid cars, and recycled paper over less environmentally sound alternatives. Getting governments and universities to buy green products is more difficult. Lisa Masney of the World Watch Institute recently looked at institutional purchasing power. She says individual actions are important, but big institutions have an enormous impact.
For example, universities or government agencies, the United Nations, the World Bank, you know, all these very, very large institutions that make buying decisions every day. They use paper, they have food in their cafeterias, they have fleet vehicles. They're making these kinds of decisions on a much larger level.
Masney says if large institutions push for green products, it can change a whole industry. One example was a 1993 federal initiative that required government agencies to purchase computers that met high energy standards.
And as a result of this directive, it set into motion sort of a massive overhaul of the consumer market, and manufacturers had to respond to this. And largely as a result of the increased demand on the government side, today about 95% of all monitors, 80% of all computers, and 99% of all printers sold in North America now meet ENERGY STAR standards.
Masney says individuals should choose environmentally friendly products, but pushing for changes in institutional purchasing will really force changes in the market. For more information about this story or others you hear on Earthwatch Radio, visit our website at ewradio.org. That's ewradio.org. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, it's tit for tat, but heck, you know all that. So when George number one brought in the big guns and chased me out of Kuwait, tried to set me straight, I arranged a little hit on that Texas twit. Well, it didn't quite work, I felt like...
This is Saddam's song.
But I moved along, let bygones be gone, figured George would too, got other things to do than worry about me and my villainry. But whoever would have guessed, whoever would have thought that I'd come to regret that crooked shot?
Yeah, I guess he did. At Jim Turr, BlueCanyonProductions.com, I don't know the name of that, but it's, Saddam Hussein sings his tune. Disney, there's a move now to boycott Disney. Democrats.com, the Patriotic Progressives website, is suggesting that people boycott Disney because Disney is refusing to allow Michael Moore's movie, Fahrenheit 911, to come out. They're saying boycott Disney films, theme parks, toys, TV networks, which is ABC, I believe. And this whole thing. Now, here's what's interesting, what has just come out. I'll give you some more detail on this in the next hour, those of you who are going to, who are on stations to stay with us for the third hour of the program. But the consensus was that one of the reasons why Disney was not going to allow America to see Michael Moore's movie had something to do with tax breaks in Florida. Well, it goes a little beyond that. Jeb Bush controls 7.3 million shares of Disney stock. As governor of Florida, Jeb Bush serves as a trustee for the State Employees Pension Fund. That fund owns approximately 7.3 million shares of Disney stock. According to the Orlando Sentinel on March the 2nd of 04, how the state votes those shares in board of directors elections is, quote, a closely watched decision with political as well as economic dimensions. End quote. In the last board election in which Eisner ran unopposed, Jeb Bush and the other trustees symbolically withheld their support. If the trustees were to continue opposing Eisner in future elections, it could endanger his two-decade reign at the top of the company. So there's that. And then it turns out there's an Arab sheikh, a Saudi Arabian prince. His name is Al-Walid bin Talal. And this is he's the fifth richest man in the world. He owns stock, major stocks, in Apple, AOL, Time Warner, News Corp, Saks, all this sort of thing. He bought a $590 million share in Citicorp in 1991, bailing that company out. And it turns out that Disney is begging this guy to bail out Disney in France. It's going down the tubes, and they're trying to get this sheikh to bail him out. And he may well be one of the guys that Michael Moore is fingering in Fahrenheit 9/11. The plot thickens, my friends. It's the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, discussing solutions and not false promises.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly, and they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Last Friday, five janitors were fired for union organizing at Colorado biotech giant Amgen. Several other members of the Service Employees International Union Justice for Janitors campaign were fired from tech companies for fighting poverty wages, a lack of health care, and harassment in the workplace.
The janitors that clean the high-tech industry in particular are some of the most exploited workers.
Valerie Alcaga, director of the Colorado Justice for Janitors campaign, says janitors in the technology industry are exposed to many types of toxic chemicals and sweatshop working conditions.
We have workers that are on their hands and knees for 10 hours a day cleaning the crevices of these clean rooms, for example, at the Intel plant. We have a worker in particular that, you know, has been working 3 years doing this cleaning on her hand and knees. After years and years of putting all the weight on the wrists begin giving out. The company, in this case, has told her that what is wrong with her is that she fell in her house, although this is completely not true. But because they're immigrants and because they think they're not going to stand up, this goes on and on and on until the worker gets tired and quits, right?
Union supporters who appear to be immigrants are being targeted for immigration documentation verification in an effort to break the union.
Tens of thousands of British retirees face a bleak future if Parliament cannot come to agreement on a bailout package for their pensions. Most of them worked for companies that went bankrupt during the latest recession. The Labour-led government is devising a pension protection program to deal with situations like these, but as of now, the plan would not be retroactive, leaving some 60,000 recently busted pensioners out in the cold. A multi-partisan amendment is in the works to fix the issue, but has only received lukewarm support from Prime Minister Tony Blair. Retroactive coverage would cost the government an estimated $120 million a year for the next 30 years, but many MPs think it's a small cost to pay if it restores confidence in the British corporate pension system. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Tax cuts of recent years have not actually been tax cuts at all, according to new analysis from United for a Fair Economy. It says something more like tax shifting has actually been taking place and points to the disparity between federal and state tax rates over the last 3 years. The wealthiest 1% of Americans got nearly $200 billion in tax relief over the last 3 years, while coincidentally, state and local governments suffered budget gaps totaling some $200 billion.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Have you visited 100fires.com lately? If not, then you're missing out on thousands of books for a better world. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, creating more livable communities, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Wouldn't you be a little skeptical if you took your car in for a routine checkup and the repair shop said it had found a mysterious and costly problem deep in the engine that, quote, needs fixing, even though you can't detect any problem at all? Welcome to the shady world of today's Social Security mechanics, including politicos of both parties and a phalanx of banking lobbyists. They're telling us in the direst terms that there's a major problem deep in the Social Security system that must be fixed right away. The fix is going to be costly, they solemnly inform us. It'll require raising people's retirement age to as high as 70, cutting the monthly payments for all retired workers, and even privatizing part or all of this public safety net for retirees. But we must accept these fixes, they warn, or the whole system will sputter and die. BS alert, BS alert. Of all government programs, including the bloated, fraud-ridden Pentagon, Social Security is least in need of fixing. It's the most efficient program we have, requiring a mere 1% of its total budget for administrative costs. And even the political mechanics who want to mess with the program admit that Social Security is perfectly sound and capable of paying full benefits to future retirees through at least 2042. What insurance company or bank can make that claim? And with only minor adjustment, the system is solid through 2075, long after most of today's fixers will be dead. There is one fix, however, that would guarantee the soundness of Social Security in perpetuity. Raise the current $88,000 income cap so that the salaries, bonuses, stock gains, and other wealth of the elites are also subject to Social Security taxes, rather than keeping the burden solely on the wages of low-income and middle-class working folks. This is Jim Hightower saying, to push for this simple and fair reform, call Campaign for America's Future, 202-955-5665.
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
The following is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate.
Mark Martin makes the turn. Oh, what a good move by the 33-time NASCAR race winner. The Viagra car takes the inside track. Good move!
See, I know a little something about making good moves. And one of the best moves you can make is to talk to your doctor and ask if Viagra is right for you.
Joe makes the turn. Now he's parallel parking. Wow, what a move! He's in front of his doctor's office.
Ask your doctor about a free Viagra sample today.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends, to the third hour of our program today. A minor rumor has hatched on the internet. Perhaps you've seen this. Perhaps you've gotten one of these emails. A lot of people very worried about this. Haven't seen a discussion about it in our chat room yet. Surprising. The chat room, by the way, if you have not been hanging out in our chat room, you have been missing something. You go to TomHartman.com and just click on the chat room. It'll take you to the Democratic Forum on CompuServe. If you have an AOL or CompuServe screen name, just plug in the screen name and password, and boom, you're in there. And click on the chat button. If you don't, you can sign up for one. There's no fee or anything like that. It's a very simple, straightforward, easy process to drop in on our chat room. Anyhow, this minor rumor, and I'll check out the chat room and say, how many of you folks there know about this? that a large and deadly asteroid will strike the Earth this fall, ending life on Earth. Bulletin board discussion cite a 63% chance of impact, according to CNN.com. City-size asteroid to clear Earth is the title of the article by Robert Roy Britt. The rumors are likely rooted in a real event, however. On September 29th of this year, not too long from now, September 29th, this fall, an asteroid the size of a small city will make the closest known pass of such a very large space rock any time this century. This is an asteroid that visits us every 4 years. This fall, it's going to zoom by just a million miles out. Now, the moon is a quarter million miles away. So, a million miles is pretty close. Pretty close. The name of the asteroid is Tautatus. The last time it was this close, as close as it's going to be in September, on September 29th, was in the year 1353. And it won't be that close again until the year 2562, according to NASA. They are tracking this thing very carefully. However, this is a very strange asteroid. Instead of being a round ball, like most are, that has a fairly predictable orbit, this thing is shaped like a dumbbell. It's almost 3 miles long and 1.5 miles wide, and it's tumbling through space. So there's a certain amount of uncertainty about exactly how it's going to move, because there's not an atmosphere in space, of course, but there is stuff there. And not to mention the pressure of solar radiation. There's energy stuff, and then there's also particulate stuff, and that affects the movement of things like this. This asteroid, the official number of it is 4179. It wasn't even discovered until 1989. It was discovered by French astronomers, and it is listed by NASA as a potentially hazardous asteroid. But they say it won't hit the Earth for at least 6 centuries. Well, that's reassuring. Not the ain't never going to happen sort of reassuring, but at least 6 centuries sort of reassuring. If there's anything you'd like to talk about today, our number is 1-866-889-8894, and I would like to have a contest here. We actually have that. We've been using the George W. Bush quiz book by Paul Slansky for our contests, and I'd like to give a copy of that from the chat room. Examine reality. Our chat room says, an asteroid the size of Limbaugh's butt? Yeah, apparently. Okay, we're going to give away a copy of the George W. Bush quiz book by Paul Slansky. Please don't call until I have finished telling you what all 4 possible answers to this question are. And 1-866-889-8894, the telephone number, the first correct answer will win a copy of the George W. Bush quiz book by Paul Slansky. Here's the question. Upon signing on as communications director for George W. Bush's 1994 campaign for the Texas governorship against incumbent Ann Richards, what was the first crisis Karen Hughes had to deal with? A Richards TV spot that featured the video of Bush picking his nose, that famous video. B, one of the Deke pledges Bush had branded 27 years ago had come forward to show his scar. C, on a dove hunt with a pack of reporters looking on, Bush unwittingly shot a killdeer, an animal which is a protected species. Or D, a Democrat who claimed to have proof that Bush had fallen off the wagon showed up. Upon signing on as communications director for George W. Bush's 1994 campaign for the Texas governorship, what was the first crisis that Karen Hughes had to deal with? A Richards TV spot that featured George Bush picking his nose. B, when he was in college and he branded those pledges, one of the pledges showed up to show his scar. C, on a dove hunt with a pack of reporters looking on, he shot an endangered species, a killdeer. Or D, a Democrat showed up who claimed to have proof that Bush had fallen off the wagon. 1-866-889-8894 is our number. The first person to call with the correct answer will win a copy of the George W. Bush quiz book from which that question came. Human rights are for humans. This is a topic that I would like to we've had several people call with the wrong answer. This is great. This is great. Let me just lay this out one more time. Upon signing on as communications director for George W. Bush's 94 campaign, what was the first crisis Karen Hughes had to deal with? A, Richards TV spot that showed George Bush picking his nose. A, B, one of the Deke pledges he'd branded 27 years earlier came forward to show his scars. C, on a dove hunt with a pack of reporters looking on, he unwittingly shot a protected species. Or D, a Democrat who claimed to have proof that Bush had fallen off the wagon showed up. Ah, we have a winner. We have a winner. Yes, indeed. So, no need to call any longer. 1-866-889-8894. I mean, you can call if you want to talk about something, but... and I've got some interesting movie news here for you in just a moment. But let's see. Our winner is Chris in New Mexico. Hey, Chris, welcome.
Hello, Tom. I'm overwhelmed. I never win anything. I'd like to thank all the little people.
Isn't this great?
You know, anybody who thinks I believe Molly Ivins is one of my heroes, and I'm a regular reader of the Texas Observer, and that was such a huge flap. I just knew that one right away.
Ah, great. Okay, so what is the answer?
The answer is George W. Bush shooting a killdeer on a dove hunt, and he was actually proud of it.
He was proud. What is a killdeer? Do you know?
A killdeer is it's a smallish bird. It's most famous for the fact that, as a habit, when an intruder gets around its nest, like a human walks by its nest, it does a broken wing dance. It tries to lead you. It acts as if it's wounded and leads you away from the nest, from where its eggs are. And then it's a very interesting bird, and I guess it is protected, at least down in that part of Texas.
Yeah.
They're all over the place up here in New Mexico.
Interesting. And George W. shot one.
George W. shot one and ran over proudly and held it up and said, "Look, I got one." And then I guess somebody that was hunting with him that had the, you know, IQ of a titmouse pointed out that he just shot. And I guess there was a reporter there, too.
Yeah, well, it says there was a pack of reporters looking at him, according to this. Well done, Chris. Well done. I'm going to put you on hold here, and we'll get your address so we can get the book out to you.
Thanks
for calling. Thanks for entering our contest, and congratulations on winning. Chris in New Mexico. In Santa Fe, New Mexico. There's a new film coming out, and it's been released in Canada, and it is really doing well. And it looks like 19 U.S. cities, it's going to be released in later this month in the United States. It's a book called The Corporation. And this is a movie that is, it's not based on a book I wrote, but it might as well be. I wrote this book called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights, in which I talked about this legal doctrine of corporations as people. Of, you know, thinking of corporations as if they were persons. And the fact that corporations have been rising up and saying, hey, we should have human rights. Because in the 14th Amendment, there is this clause in the first clause, there's this phrase in the first clause of the 14th Amendment that says, no person shall be denied equal protection under the law. And historically, in fact, here's the exact language. It actually starts out saying, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So you'd think they're talking about human beings, right? To be born or naturalized, you'd have to be a human being. And then it goes on to say, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction, the equal protection of the laws. That's the 14th Amendment. And it was passed to free the slaves in the 1860s, 1868, as I recall. And in the 1870s, the railroads started coming before the Supreme Court and saying, hey, we have historically been called persons, we corporations, we've been called artificial persons, humans have been called natural persons under the law, but we do have some status as persons. We have to have a legal status as persons in order to pay taxes, own land, be able to sue and be sued, and therefore that 14th Amendment should apply to us. We should have equal protection under the law right along with people. And in 1886, in the Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad case before the Supreme Court, the railroads argued this. They said, hey, we should be considered people. We're persons. And we should have constitutional rights. We should be protected by the Bill of Rights just like human beings are. And the court said no. The court refused to rule on that in that case. If you actually read the case, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, 1886, the Supreme Court did not rule that corporations are persons. But the clerk of the court, a former railroad president by the name of John Chandler Bancroft Davis, the son of the governor of Massachusetts, very wealthy, elite fellow, the clerk of the court, in a commentary on the case called a headnote, wrote, corporations are persons and entitled to equal protection under the law according to the 14th Amendment. And ever since then, corporations and Supreme Court justices, oddly enough, have pointed to that and said corporations are persons. And so you had Nike last year arguing before the Supreme Court that they had the First Amendment right of persons to lie. You've had Dow Chemical argue that they have the Fourth Amendment protections of persons to privacy, and therefore the EPA can no longer do surprise inspections in their chemical factories and things. You've had big box retailers. JCPenney was the first in 1936, JCPenney versus the state of Florida, coming forward and saying that when a community tries to keep a large predatory retailer out in order to protect their local businesses, that's the same as a restaurateur serving white people but refusing to serve black people. That's illegal discrimination under the 14th Amendment, which is one of the reasons why it's so difficult for communities to stop Walmarts. We in my hometown here, we've had a running lawsuit against McDonald's for years. Here in Montpelier, the only state capital in the nation with no McDonald's. They claim they're persons. We claim they're not. You know, on it goes. So anyhow, they made a movie out of this and said, okay, if a corporation is a person, what kind of person is it? I'll tell you after the break. It is a stunner. 20 minutes past the hour. This is the Real People's Radio, the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
to discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find this sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The war they are in has been declared over by the same man who lied them into it. Their reward? Combat pay cut in half. $1.5 billion cut to their family housing. $20 billion cut to military health care. No health care for reservists.
Lancers, bring them on.
Thousands wounded, hundreds dead, and no end in sight. If we support our troops, why can't Bush? Or is this what they mean when they say an army of one?
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Got to go back. We got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back. For the healing. Go on with the dreaming.
Van Morrison, one of the great Irish artists, musicians. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here, 25 minutes past the hour. Here's the kicker. This movie, it's called The Corporation. It took 6 years and $1 million to make this movie. It's packed theaters in Canada, according to the Wall Street Journal today, an article by Einthy, Gene Duggan, and Kenneth Berman. Familiar villain emerges in a dark documentary film. Packed theaters across Canada and broken domestic box office records for a homegrown documentary. Won the Documentary Audience Award for World Cinema at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year and is set to open in 19 cities next month. Now here is what the movie does. The screen fills with a white page from the World Health Organization's Manual of Mental Disorders. And they go through this list of the characteristics of some of the mental disorders that people can have. And they get to antisocial personality disorder or psychopathic behavior and start checking the symptoms. Callous unconcern for the feelings of others. Incapacity to maintain enduring relationships. And on it goes. And they get all through all this whole, and they check every single one. Corporations are psychopaths. In fact, Robert Hare, who was an FBI a psychiatrist who consults with the FBI about psychopaths. This is the guy. The FBI says, okay, who's an expert on psychopaths? Well, let's get this guy, Robert Hare, in here. He knows everything about these. He's the official FBI expert on psychopaths. He says, and I quote, this from the movie also, in many respects, corporations are the prototypical psychopath. End quote. Prototypical, like as in prototype, as in original, as in the quintessential, the ultimate, the perfect, the, you know, obvious. Well, you know, I'm not the best thesaurus here, but so the you know, look for this movie. It talks about how corporations have supplanted the government and the church as the dominant societal institution in the United States. This I think is the greatest threat to freedom and democracy in the United States is the reality that the prime institutions, actually I would say, have supplanted the prime institution of family, that the primary institutions of our culture have been replaced by corporations and their value systems are being replaced by corporate values. So instead of the government being a primary, you know, that we all collectively own, being acknowledged as one of the primary institutions of life, or the church, or even the family, where people instead of having family time, they're sitting around watching TV, maybe even when they're eating meals, that corporations, or they're working so much at the corporation that there is no family time. The corporate values are becoming America's values. And this is not a healthy thing. Toronto's Financial Post, by the way, the conservative press is not happy with this. The Financial Post of Toronto, of course, the corporate organ, no pun intended, called the movie, quote, an evil, ugly, and dishonest pack of lies by cultural welfare recipients. Oh, yeah. Sling a little mud. Let's call them names. Well, that's, this is this wasn't a person who said this. This was the Financial Post, an official. So this is the corporation speaking. The movie is evil, ugly, and dishonest pack of lies made by cultural welfare recipients. The Corporation, a movie coming to 19 cities in the United States, perhaps one near you this month. They also have a website. I don't have the URL for it handy, but I'm sure you can find it in 10 seconds with Google. 29 minutes past the hour. You're in the center of a vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations.
A must-read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Last Friday, five janitors were fired for union organizing at Colorado biotech giant Amgen. Several other members of the Service Employees International Union Justice for Janitors campaign were fired from tech companies for fighting poverty wages, a lack of health care, and harassment in the workplace.
The janitors that clean the high-tech industry in particular are some of the most exploited workers.
Valerie Alcaga, director of the Colorado Justice for Janitors campaign, says janitors in the technology industry are exposed to many types of toxic chemicals and sweatshop working conditions.
We have workers that are on their hands and knees for 10 hours a day cleaning the crevices of these clean rooms, for example, at the Intel plant. We have a worker in particular that, has been working 3 years doing this cleaning on her hand and knees. After years and years of putting all the weight on the wrists begin giving out. The company, in this case, has told her that what is wrong with her is that she fell in her house, although this is completely not true. But because they're immigrants and because they think they're not going to stand up, this goes on and on and on until the worker gets tired and quits, right?
Union supporters who appear to be immigrants are being targeted for immigration documentation verification in an effort to break the union.
Tens of thousands of British retirees face a bleak future if Parliament cannot come to agreement on a bailout package for their pensions. Most of them worked for companies that went bankrupt during the latest recession. The Labour-led government is devising a pension protection program to deal with situations like these, but as of now, the plan would not be retroactive, leaving some 60,000 recently busted pensioners out in the cold. A multi-partisan amendment is in the works to fix the issue, but has only received lukewarm support from Prime Minister Tony Blair. Retroactive coverage would cost the government an estimated $120 million a year for the next 30 years, but many MPs think it's a small cost to pay if it restores confidence in the British corporate pension system. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Tax cuts of recent years have not actually been tax cuts at all, according to new analysis from United for a Fair Economy. It says something more like tax shifting has actually been taking place and points to the disparity between federal and state tax rates over the last 3 years. The wealthiest 1% of Americans got nearly $200 billion in tax relief over the last 3 years, while coincidentally, state and local governments suffered budget gaps totaling some $200 billion.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. 26 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. House of Bush, House of Mickey, says the Center for American Progress. Their report today on Jeb Bush, Michael Eisner. You know, I'm surprised that they overlooked the sheikh or the prince or whatever he is. But just a few more details about Walt Disney Company, of course, pulling the plug on Michael Moore's new movie, Fahrenheit 9/11. Miramax, actually. Pulling the plug at the demand of Disney. I mentioned in the previous hour that Jeb Bush controls the state employees' pension fund, which votes 7.3 million shares of Disney stock. So you got that. Then you've also got Disney's agreement with the state of Florida that gives the entertainment company nearly complete control over 40,000 acres in the central part of the state. Disney theme parks operate free from government oversight. It is, in effect, the government and can do whatever it wants with its land. This from this report by the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org. According to the 42801, April 28, 2001, Palm Beach Post, Michael Eisner, in a private speech to Jeb and his executive staff, stressed he was acutely aware, quote, the success and result of Disney's relationship with the state is taken for granted. End quote. A member of Jeb's staff, apparently appreciative of his remarks, then asked Eisner, what more could the state do for his company? End quote. Oh, it just gets stranger and stranger. By the way, I wanted to say hi to Suzanne Herbst, who's in the studio today, job shadowing me. Interesting role here. Bush-Eisner Mutual Admiration Society, and great to have you here, Suzanne. During the 2003 first quarter earnings conference call, Eisner cited the patronage of the Bush family to ease investor concerns about Disney's cruise lines. Let me just tell you that again. There's a conference call with the major stockholders of the Disney Corporation. The cruise line's not doing well. Michael Eisner gets on the phone on a conference call, and he's going to, like, you know, reassure them, make them feel better. So what does he say? We're in tight with the Bush family. Eisner told analysts on the call, quote, we were very happy that when the president and Jeb Bush's son and his wife and about 16 grandchildren went to on Christmas, they all had a very good time. Went to Disney World. In the days before 9/11, many Americans were wondering what they could do to help their country. President Bush urged the country, go down to Disney World in Florida, take your families and enjoy life. Remember that? He actually, I mean, this was a product endorsement, a product placement. This is incredible. Corporations pay movie corporations, you know, the companies that have products to sell will give movie producers money to put their products in the movie, right? Product placements. I mean, this is the major, most significant, most successful, most effective way that the tobacco industry in the past 15 or 20 years has marketed their product. Whenever you see somebody smoke on screen, big bucks were paid to the actors, to the producers, even the screenwriters, because the tobacco money goes into the pre-production money. I mean, it's just incredible. And here's a product placement. After 9/11, George Bush said to the American people, go down to Disney World in Florida, not in California, not in Paris, France, not in Japan, and the Disney World in Tokyo. No, go to the one in Florida. Take your families and enjoy life. According to the Village Voice on December 11th of 2001, an ecstatic Michael Eisner blasted out an email touting President Bush as, quote, our newest cheerleader. Well, appropriate for a guy whose only extracurricular activity at Andover and in the prep school that he went to was as a cheerleader. But the plot gets even thicker than that. Michael Eisner told reporters yesterday that he was refusing to distribute the film because Disney is such a nonpartisan company. Do not look for us to take sides, he said. Yet, Michael Eisner has taken the side of George W. Bush and Jeb Bush against their political opponents when he contributed to their campaigns. The fiasco, points out the Center for American Progress, illustrates the perils of excessive media consolidation. Disney is refusing to distribute a film because of the effect it may have on tax breaks for a theme park. Yesterday, Senator Frank Lautenberg called for hearings into what he called the pattern of politically based corporate censorship of the news media and the entertainment industry, end quote. Tomorrow, Bernie Sanders is going to be on our first hour. I'll bet you anything. It's going to be at the top of his list of things to rant about. Eisner's decision comes in the heels of decisions to pull content critical of George Bush by Sinclair Media and CBS. Absolutely mind-boggling. The Medicare drug cards seem to be imploding. Yesterday, Mark McClellan, the administration's chief Medicare official, told a roundtable of reporters that the Medicare drug cards would give seniors 10 to 17% off the average retail price for name brand drugs. What he forgot to mention was that even with any of the drug cards, at their best discounts, if you just go to drugstore.com, you can get a better price. And, of course, if you go to Canada, you can get a much better price. But, of course, Scotty says, we don't want seniors to do that. He reiterated his opposition to seniors going to Canadian pharmacies. Well, you know, in a way, I agree. I think American pharmacies should be making the profit from Americans buying their drugs. It's not the pharmacies that are the problem. It's the drug companies. And, you know, one of the problems, of course, is, you know, what this is going to do is it's going to drive more and more small, independent, mom-and-pop, entrepreneurial pharmacies out of business. We lost 5,000 of them over the past 3 years during the Bush administration, five out of some 20-some-odd thousand independent pharmacies in the United States. They're going out of business like crazy. And, of course, you know, it's the Walmarts of the world that are speeding it up, but this is going to be the nail in the coffin, many are suggesting. And many working adults are lacking any, you know, forget about access to drugs. They're lacking access to doctors. One in five working adults in Texas and five other southern and southwestern states don't have health insurance. In all states across the nation, at least one in ten working adults are uninsured. The study cuts against the perception of health insurance as an issue that mainly affects the poor and emphasizes that the problem affects working families. So, I wanted to tell you about this Saudi prince. I'll give you a little information before. Alwid bin Talal, his grandfather was one of Saudi Arabia's founding monarch, the head of the House of Saud. He's a grandson of the founder of Saudi Arabia. And Disney needs him. Michael Eisner now needs him. He's asking, in the mid-1990s, the prince chipped in $300 million to keep Euro Disney afloat. Now Eisner would like another helping of his largesse. Disneyland Paris and its new sister park, Walt Disney Studios in Paris, have been hammered by recession and a dramatic decline. This is from an article in Los Angeles Times by Richard Verrier. A dramatic decline in global tourism triggered by 9/11. Executives of the resort, which includes seven hotels, have said that it could soon default on a series of loans unless it restructures more than $2 billion in debt. The Prince's original investment has lost a third of its value. On Monday, Eisner and Al-Waleed are scheduled to meet at Disney headquarters in Burbank, California, to discuss the future of Euro Disney. Michael Moore has produced a movie about the links between the Saudi, between the wealthy Saudis and the Bush family, and 9/11. And on Monday, Michael Eisner, who has said now he is not going to distribute this movie, is meeting with the fifth richest man in the world, a member of the Saudi royal family. America is a kingdom. We don't elect king is not a kingdom. We don't elect kings. Although the leaders of some of our largest corporations would argue the point. They would say that they are the new royalty. They are the new aristocracy. They are the new kings. Democrats, small d, those believers in democracy, need not apply. Vote with your dollars, they would say. And the more dollars, the more votes. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, if you'd like to call. John in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, John, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I had a quick question, then I wanted to make a comment. Are you having Ambassador Wilson on soon or next week? Did I hear that?
Yes, he is scheduled to be on next week. You know, subject to change. I mean, people's schedules change, but he's scheduled. I think on the 12th. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's Tuesday. Interesting that the Bush administration, which has exploited the power of constructed images such as Bush at the World Trade Center ruins, Bush the toppling of the Saddam statue, which was, you know, kind of a created production, that now they are coming undone from the power of images also.
Yeah. Well, we will see. But, yeah, it certainly appears that way, and it is a sad irony. It's a sad irony that these guys even got into power in the first place. I mean, it's just, well, that's not an irony. That's an outrage. But, yeah. So what was that your comment or your question?
That was just my comment, yeah.
Okay. And what was your question?
Oh, I asked about Joe Wilson.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's next Tuesday at noon, Louise tells me. He will be on. So tune in then. Thanks a lot for calling, John. I appreciate it. 15 minutes before the hour, 1-866-889-8894. Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
I just got something simple to say.
Okay.
I'm not going to Disneyland.
Me neither. Me neither. This is outrageous.
I think you'll probably start seeing some bumper stickers saying that soon.
Yeah, you know, the right-wing websites are saying that this was all a very careful manipulation of the media by Michael Moore, that he knew a year ago that Miramax was not going to distribute the movie, but that he chose to yell about it now because next week is the Cannes Film Festival and it would get him the maximum publicity and help him at Cannes, and everybody would vote for him for the best movie because they felt sorry for him. And, you know, the conspiracy theory of the week from the right wing.
I guess you could say being a neocon is never having to say you're sorry.
Yeah, I never having to think things through very carefully. Jeff, thanks for the call. Good to hear
Take
from
care.
You. Yeah, you too. It was acceptable and un-American, writes Sidney Blumenthal in The Guardian. But was it torture? Talking, of course, about what happened in Iraq, in the prisons there. Don Rumsfeld yesterday, my impression is that what has been charged thus far is abuse, which I believe technically is different from torture. So now we have the Secretary of Defense saying, no, it's not torture, it's just abuse. And yet Major General Antonio Taguba, who back in March wrote a report, described pouring cold water on naked detainees, beating detainees with a broom handle and a chair, threatening male detainees with rape, sodomizing them with chemical light sticks and broomsticks. No, I'm sorry, this is not torture. This is just abuse. Rumsfeld trying to, you know, George Orwell would be proud of these guys. The same day that Rumsfeld added his contribution, writes Sidney Blumenthal, to the history of Orwellian statements by high officials, the Senate Armed Services Committee was briefed behind closed doors and learned of the deaths of 25 prisoners, including two out-and-out murders in Iraq, learned that private contractors were at the center of these lethal incidents, and learned that no one had been charged. Blumenthal, what a great turn of phrase here. He says, the senators were given no details about the private contractors. They might as well have been fitted with hoods. Many of them, Blumenthal notes, Democratic and Republican, were infuriated that there was no accountability and no punishment and are demanding a special investigation, but the Republican leadership quashed it. The senators want Rumsfeld to testify in a public hearing, but he's resisting, and Republican leaders are blocking it. I believe that they just he just agreed to do that. Bush, now here's where this is what it really gets down to. And Blumenthal is just spot on about this. This is in Thursday's Guardian in the UK. Bush has created what is, in effect, a gulag. It stretches from prisons in Afghanistan to Iraq, from Guantanamo to secret CIA prisons all around the world. There are perhaps 10,000 people now being held in Iraq, 1,000 in Afghanistan, almost 700 in Guantanamo. No one knows the exact numbers. The law as it applies to them is whatever the president, the executive, deems necessary. The world has not seen as extensive a system as this. A gulag system, an extrajudicial system, outside the laws, outside the courts, purely operated by the head of government, the executive branch, since the fall of the Soviet Union. It is a legal black hole. Under the Bush legal doctrine, Blumenthal notes, we create a system beyond law to defend the rule of law. We defend democracy by inhibiting democracy. This is a conflict in the American mind between two claims on democracy, one with a sense of paradox, limits, and debates, the other purporting to be omniscient, even messianic, requiring no checks because of its purity and contemptuous of accountability. That, to me, is not democracy. Tom Hartman with you, 10 minutes before the hour.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value. Absolutely free, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
The virus that causes AIDS might throw some developing countries into social turmoil. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Countries with large populations of HIV-positive citizens face years of social unrest and violence. That's the view of Robert Engelman, a vice president of the nonprofit group Population Action International.
HIV/AIDS really kills large numbers of people in the middle-aged population, and it leaves young people behind, so there's an even greater proportion of young people, sometimes called a youth bulge.
Engelman's group has found that countries with a youth bulge, large numbers of people between the ages of 15 and 29, are more prone to social conflict.
Our theory is that it changes the age structure in unprecedented ways. It's more the younger, middle-aged people who die from the disease. So the people who are dying of AIDS in a country that is really ravaged by this disease typically are in their most productive years. They're people in their 30s, people in their 40s, some people in their 50s. It artificially increases the youth bulge, which is something that we've documented is highly correlated with conflict.
Engelman says HIV/AIDS is hitting hardest in countries that already suffer from poverty and social unrest.
It artificially boosts the youth bulge that already exists in many of these societies, and it deprives the societies of leadership. And it just suggests that there's going to be increasing problems providing jobs, maintaining economic development, and keeping a stable society.
Engelman says more generous assistance in the fight against HIV/AIDS can help address the health of individuals and whole societies. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
That's got to be Dolly.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 4 minutes before the hour. George Bush, Iraq. The good news, the poll today in the Wall Street Journal. If the trends of the history of the last 30 years hold, John Kerry will be our next president. Wouldn't that be nice? 1-866-89-8894. Armin in Florida is on the line. Hey, Armin, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, I'll say a prayer to that.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, listen, do you think that the law profession has taken over the health insurance companies?
No, I think it's the other way around. The legal profession, they talk about trial lawyers giving money to John Edwards, you know, quack, quack, quack. And there are, you know, a few trial lawyers who make pretty good bucks suing, class action lawsuits and things. But the legal industry, as it were, is piker compared to the health industry.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because Aetna really pulled a real serious sham on us. They switched the terms of our policy, and we never found out about it until we were in the hospital using it.
Yeah, we being
dramatically.
Being your family, you mean?
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
And they never wrote us anything and never verbally told us about it and dramatically changed it from catastrophic, pretty high, expensive, to 5,000 maximum coverage. Can you imagine that happening to you?
I can't. Something very similar to that happened to me with our health insurance company 2 years ago. They dramatically changed.
But did they tell you, though? Did you get information?
No, they may well have, and I just didn't notice. I mean, it might have been printed in fine print on the back of a monthly bill, or there might have been something that looked like spam that came or something like that. But I found out when we had a hospital deductible, one of our kids got injured, and suddenly we were hit with a multi-$1,000 bill that I thought was covered. You know, one of our kids, she broke her ankles skateboarding.
Well, the reason why I'm asking about the attorneys is it seems to be very difficult to find one that wants to take these thugs on.
Yeah, well, that's because it's like taking on power. It is a difficult thing to do. I wish you well, though, Armin. I hope you can succeed against them. And all of us. I mean, ultimately, this is why we need single-payer health care in the United States. We need to get the health insurance companies out of the business. Out of being between us and our doctors. Thanks to Louise for producing the program today, to Brad Walrod for our music, Shelby and Ben for getting us on the web. Thanks to our chat room folks. Thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.